Sorry for that dead air. Maybe I'll edit that out. Maybe I won't.
That's the way I show. God damn it all.
Nobody heard that.
Oh.
Nobody heard that. That was just for you guys. I was cursing. I can't even blame the equipment. It was just my mess up. Yeah, like Joe like posted something, you know, being a dumbass. He's like, well, I keep you in line. I'm like, really? You think your wrath is worse than my own on myself? Not a chance.
Hey, when I screw up, I lay into myself.
I know, but there's hardly time for anything else. You know, I was watching some. I was watching Carton and Boomer and Carton, and their radio show.
Is it Carton or Cartman?
Carton.
Carton. Okay.
Okay. And they were like talking about talking to themselves, and they were saying, yeah, sometimes I do. And then the one guy Jerry Recco goes, yeah, I was calling myself an idiot the other day, and I was thinking, I don't talk to myself. Wait a minute, I call myself stupid daily.
Yeah.
I guess I do talk to myself.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm like. Lay into myself a lot.
Stub
of times.
Stub my toes, stupid.
Oh, stupid dumbbell.
Yeah,
clown.
Yeah. If I talk to others the way I talk, berate myself, nobody would be around me.
Oh yeah. Sometimes I'll do something. I go, you've got to be one of the top 10 dumbest morons walking this planet.
And that's when I wish I was there.
In my office, I often have to tell people when I'm criticizing myself that I'm not talking to them.
Yeah. All right. So let's start this show properly.
Mm.
This is David's Den, as you can tell by the awkward beginning. The show that is better than being a sexy piece of ass.
Mm.
Than not being a sexy piece of ass.
Mm-hmm.
I screwed that up. The number to call, well, you can't call in tonight because Pip's on the phone. We'll explain that in a second. All this show.
It's the most unhealthiest show you'd ever want to be on between
God,
me.
God, Ebola's had a better day.
Yeah.
Anywho. You want to listen, you can listen to us live by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you want to listen another way, go to one of our affiliates, which you can't get on our website right now, and I forgot to post. But, yeah, we got a bunch of good affiliates.
Mm.
So our website's being updated. Hawkradio.net, CyanetRadio.com, RuthlessRadio.fm, GoneRogueRadio.com, IndieAuthority.net, IndieAuthority.net, Pip?
IndieAuthority. You know what? I don't know. I've never had that written down. I'll have to look it up.
Well, you're going to do the read later, so it'll be helpful.
I never said it.
No, well, that's a shame. Well, tonight's tonight. Anyway, we got a bunch of affiliates. You should definitely check them out. Anyway, all right, enough of that. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt, struggling.
You didn't even say that for like you were sure. I'm your host.
I'm your host, kind of, sort of. I'm your so-called host.
I'm the guy holding the prep sheet. Well, all the other stuff, I guess that makes me the host.
Yeah, I'm the guy with the printout. You know what? The Chinese captain who capsized his boat in the Yangtze River is having a better day than me.
At least there's a chance of writing the ship.
Yeah. The guy that thought Caitlyn Jenner was born a chick and wanted to bang her is having a better day. But anywho, I'm your so-called host, Davin Rosenblatt. That's so-called
You're the guy
Joe
with the paperwork.
Yeah, that's so-called Joe Curry.
I'm without the paperwork.
And Pip could not make it in because, well, you know, it was time for her not to be here. She was here last week and that was enough. Pip is on the phone.
Yeah, I had plenty. I saw you guys. I had to get out.
Yes, that's enough. Well, we got a full show tonight. We got the male version of Name That Orgasm.
Yes.
You got the new development on the ongoing saga. That's our favorite scammer, Belinda.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, more fun with Ann Jackson. So a lot's been going on behind the scenes. And then some more stuff happened today. And I figure, you know what? We'll do a back office meeting. on the air? Because I'm not yelling at anybody here.
Well, not yet. The back office meeting usually about 5 minutes.
No, you usually annoy me online. You haven't annoyed me anything with the radio the past, 18 to 24 hours.
I've been running my little 2x4 across your cage.
Yeah. Yeah, to the point where I just ignore you because I realize you're just being an asshole. Like, he's an asshole, you know.
You know, you're just as bad. You'll pop up with something.
I have a point.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Not a good one.
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, much like the show, not really. Anyway, all right, so here we go. I've been working on...
The railroad? Sorry.
Much like his Facebook post, really nothing to do with anything. Just to like, hey, I'm here. Don't ignore me, society.
Isn't that the point of Facebook?
Yes.
Yes, that's the intrinsic point of Facebook.
This is why people get blocked. You're becoming my Joanne.
Oh, God, that's so inside, but it's so true.
You're on the cusp, my friend. You're on the cusp of becoming your soon-to-be ex-wife in my world.
Oh, God.
Because I don't have the time for your horse shit, much like you got fed up with her horse shit.
I got to tell you something. You wrote something in regards to, oh, my God, it was last week, and it was in regards to the whole thing of the Gulf War. Going in and trying
Gulf
to fight.
War. Oh, well, we're not trying the to, Gulf War.
The weapons of mass destruction, the whole thing like
the,
that.
The Iraq War, not the
right,
Gulf
the
War.
Iraq War with the weapons of mass. And I had such a diatribe, and I did the and I just didn't have time. I don't have time.
Yeah, well, I responded to that, and that was the end of that.
I didn't have a chance to get back to you.
Oh, real quick, the point of the Iraq War, whether you thought he had weapons of mass destruction or not, the point was it wasn't an urgent war. Empires fall when they open up wars on too many fronts. That's why the Roman Empire fell. Yeah. We already had our hands full with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Even if you thought Saddam was over there and up to no good, he could wait. That was my point.
Well, my whole thing was he just said, yeah, this is quick, then we'll end it. He should just let if he let the weapons inspectors in, that would have been the end of it.
Yeah, but he's an asshole. He's not going to do that. I'm not saying the guy was a good guy.
Neither am I.
I'm not saying. Well, he had good points.
Not for nothing. In hindsight, if anybody was going to keep that country in control, it was.
Yes. And that's why the people who opposed the war going in, that's what I said back in the day. I haven't flip-flopped on that. I've always said, no, don't go, stupid. I've always been there. So when people go, well, you didn't think that then? No, I did. I'm like, we got our hands full. Let's get the terrorists.
Hey, look, we knew it was a problem. You just show us that you got no
There's
weapons.
Lots of assholes in
you
the
know,
world.
You and inspectors don't say everything. We got to abide by them. Just show them and go away. Who gives a shit?
Dictators. They give a shit. They tend not to play nice. But when we got our hands full with a bunch of assholes in caves, we'll get to them later. That's all I was saying. And I was proven to be correct. Mm. And anyway, enough about solving the world's problems.
Right. Let's solve our problems.
Exactly. and there are many. I don't know if there are many. Anyway, so I made my second pitch ever to a major television production company for a television show. The pitch went very well, and they're interested. But they did not want
yay.
The... What?
I said yay.
Oh. I was confused by support. You threw me. Okay. It's hard to do when she's not here. You couldn't pick her up and piggyback her ass over here. So, but the principal that I had in mind, the principal type of character that I had in mind, mm-hmm. they didn't want to do. So I had to, so I had somebody else, because I had somebody, so they had somebody actually who they wanted, and fortunately we were able to secure that person.
Mm-hmm.
Our agent actually is like, oh, I know that person. Let me put in a call. That mm-hmm. never happens in my world.
Mm-hmm.
So the person wants to do the project and everything. So, but I said, well, now that it's going to be this type of person, maybe I could audition for my own show. And our ever-loving manager, agent, whatever the hell he is, Roger goes, no offense, but you're not...
Yeah, believable.
No. You're not eye candy enough.
You're not...
It's like, really? I'm like, you'd be surprised, you son of a bitch. I'm a sexy piece of ass.
Let's not get crazy. Eye candy?
I'm not trying to save the world
in this
show. You're
not even eye mint.
I mint. I don't get it. From candy to mint?
Candy to mint. You're more like I liver.
You're just going to keep going with this.
Somewhere.
I liver. her.
I got it. All right, good. Move on.
Well, did she save your ass? You were all the way at the bottom of the sea. She goes, all right, stupid. Come
eye
on
candy.
In.
You're not eye candy. When do you think you're eye candy?
Not eye candy, but I'm not Quasimodo.
Well, no, but
oh, it's not about the main characters does not have to be a sex symbol.
I mean, if it was like, you know, a show about a, you know, a bunch of people living in a kibbutz, you're the first guy in, but you know.
Actually, I'm not right for that. But he goes
you know how television is. Even if they were going to be doing another show on the Elephant Man, they'd go, "Can we get Brad Pitt?"
Now, there's a show you could go for.
I see how you two work in tandem there. He goes. Even the guy from Man vs. Food, Adam Richman, has a certain charisma about him. Like, really? I'm not good enough for the guy that eats eats everything and then has gas. I'm not better than that guy.
Now listen, I'm kind of siding with you now. I mean, any example? Even the guy that eats like a glutton has some sort of charisma.
It's like, wait a minute, I've already proven I can, you know, host a radio show, I can go on these television shows. I can kind of do this stuff.
I don't think America's ready for you.
Well, that I'm pretty sure of as well, but I've never waited before. Mm. Just kind of forced myself on them like, you know, America's some chick and I'm Bill Cosby.
I have to jump in and say that Lisa says, yes, you are eye candy, Davin.
Thank you, Lisa. See, I'd rather have Lisa thinking I'm eye candy
than
you, stupid.
You're a chunky boy.
Oh, wow. I can't believe you went there.
Really? Can you see? I have my mail forwarded there.
My mail forwarded. Now, that was funny. It's a shame that type of humor can't constantly emerge out of your mouth. Usually it's the obvious bullshit, a nice meme of a kitty cat or a vice president or something.
Those memes, you hate memes with a passion.
I don't hate memes. I hate you.
You hate them.
But anywho, so I've reworked the show to star two people. So
ironically, one of them's you.
Yes, ironically it is. So
that's smart.
I thank you, Pip. I'm glad somebody appreciates. I'll tell you what, Joe. If somebody was going to be ill, I wish it was you.
It was last week. You got your wish last week.
I know. I didn't realize how lucky I was till now. Can't you? Hey, I got some gefilte fish juice. You want to down that step and do the rest of the show with Pip?
Ugh.
So we've resubmitted. So we got that in the works. I still think my original idea is viable. I think it just wasn't what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, I got three shows I'm now shopping around. Mm-hmm. And the two of them have shown interest. Mm. So we'll see what happens. See if and that has nothing to do. That show that the one I just pitched has nothing to do with this radio show. Originally, I wasn't even going to be in the show. I was just going to consult and write for the show. But then when they went in a different direction where they wanted a comedian, I said, well, wait a second.
I'm done.
Don't try to get back into my good graces by slamming yourself, stupid. You're still an asshole till further notice.
It's funny because you weren't interested in being in the show until all of a sudden it seemed like something. Wait a minute now, that's something I could do. Hey, why aren't I being considered?
That's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
I was perfectly happy not being part of the show on camera because it wasn't written for me. But they didn't want to go to casting because they're afraid people would, like, I guess people then find out and everything. So they didn't want, which is a terrible thing for a television show, for people to be aware of it. But I guess it's like a race to get it, like, on the air first. So once it's shifted to something I could do, which is actually in my wheelhouse, it was like, well, wait a minute, I can do this. And the way I created the show now, I would actually be with the guy that they had in mind. And I think it's good that we were able to get that guy.
Mm. That's awesome.
Yeah. There's like a delay. Is there a delay with her tonight?
No.
A little bit.
Yeah, there's a little delay, right? Okay.
Yeah, no, it's me. I am on a delay.
Oh.
All right.
So everything's normal.
Okay.
So
yes, my brain is delayed.
Poor thing.
So I spoke to a syndicator for the radio show because mm-hmm. we tried with Sirius. So I spoke to Sirius. They like it, but here's the thing. I was pretty much told they could get us on like 17 to 18 stations like now, but we would have to do it every day, and it would take about 2 years to start making money.
Yeah, I got a mortgage.
So that, doing it every day, a drive time show, that's not really feasible right now, I don't think. But that seems
not
to be...
Not for no cash.
Well, I mean, cash would be coming in, but just not really enough to make it worthwhile.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, that's the hard thing about doing a weekly show, but I pitched them a way where we could actually chop this show up and do it, make it a weekly show.
All right.
They also were interested in me in some 60-second type things, like minute-long things. Mm. So I gave them some of that. So I spoke to them today, and he said, listen, I'm just, you know, I got a bunch of stuff on my plate right now. I spoke to the CEO about you. Definitely some stuff we want to talk about with you.
Good.
So we'll see that. Talk to another syndicator today. Different one who I called out of the blue. And it was funny. He's like, yeah, pretty much talk radio is dead. I'm like, have you seen our video promo? We're saying the same thing. But it's like, he's like, again, he's like, you really got to do it daily. So I was thinking for a syndicate, maybe this 3-hour Tuesday night live show goes away. It becomes a Tuesday night show where we're all in studio for maybe 2 hours, not 3+ hours, do it tight. And then maybe do 4 date nights a week, Monday through Thursday, as a possibility. 1 hour where I guess you guys wouldn't come up. We would just do it like Pip is doing it now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's something, but it's a pain in the ass to commit to something like that.
It's a lot of money to come up, too.
Right. And then there was Sirius XM, who we were being pitched to, and our agent knew the new vice president over there. And the new vice president supposedly really liked the concept and liked the show. So it went all the way up to the president of the company.
Hmm.
Went all the way up to the president of Sirius XM, and he liked the show. He liked the idea. The problem is, your three heroes are a bunch of zilches, and they want somebody with a big name.
Yeah, like David Lee Roth was when they got up for K-Rock, and it was a big
show. David Lee Roth is a big name.
I know, but it didn't work. You know your big name, it doesn't mean...
Right.
I mean, that station had Oprah in there that really didn't do that well. They had...
Hush, don't speak harsh of her yet, Joe.
Oh, explain on the Oprah in Ada Bay. But they had, like, you know, when we have other celebrities come in and do it, it's just
it
not
has
as good.
It has not worked out for Sirius
XM. It has
XM.
Not at all.
You know, yeah. Howard has worked out for them.
But that's...
Howard has worked out for them. ONA did to a point, but it wasn't. But initially, it did when ONA were back on Sirius XM.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, because people had that craving for them, the people that remember them from terrestrial. Chris Mad Dog Russo, who was big in New York on the sports station here, had the biggest drive time afternoon show. They gave him his own station. They're paying him millions.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really attract people. Nobody's going in for them. They just signed Jenny McCarthy. Who the hell's buying a subscription here, Jenny McCarthy?
Yeah, I know. So it's, you know, it's the content of the show. You know, I mean, you bring the names in, but the names have got to deliver.
Well, I mean, it's like they're admitting they can't create radio stars. They're pretty much saying, we can't do this. We need somebody that's already established. But the problem is radio isn't really creating stars anymore either. So I'm thinking, I guess these stars would be what, from television? They're going
to
do that?
They might do that just to bring the names in, but the problem with that is it hasn't been working out. It's not a model that's been working out for them.
No, I was thinking about this. I think they should do it the way smaller comedy clubs and one-nighters that I produce, well, you know, shows that do comedy once in a while do. It's like, you don't bring in the big names, because you can't afford the big names. I mean, series can be, but you just give them great content. Or great performers, so they know every time they show up, they're going to see a great show. So stop spending, you know, millions and millions of dollars on these big names that, you know, maybe they'll get some listeners, but you're going to pay out millions and millions of dollars and just build a really good product. Because there's so many stations on that that platform that need programming badly.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just... So I don't know. I mean, so to me, but now here's something interesting. So I'm like, well, I guess Sirius is pretty much done. That door's closed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking to Roger, and Roger's like, well, do you know such and such? I go, no, never heard of him. I guess he's affiliated with the Opie and Jimmy show.
Mm-hmm.
So now Roger wants to pitch me to do a segment on Opie's show, mm-hmm. which I just think is funny. We used to do it with Anthony yeah. and then to do it with Opie, but never together. and the wife is like, well, you know, well, do you think it would hurt you that you were affiliated with Anthony? I'm like, no, not really. I don't think any of it really matters. I don't think it's going to happen either, but.
I don't think so.
I mean, you know, we don't have, you know. I certainly don't have any skin in the game. You know, I like Anthony. Anthony's fine. I don't know Opie. But, I mean, as far as, you know, I've always said it was a business decision. It doesn't matter if I agree with it or not. Mm-hmm. And Anthony seems to be doing fine. So it seems to have worked out well for Anthony and, you know, Jim and Opie. I mean, again, nobody's new is coming for the Jim and Opie and Jim show.
No. Not at all. No, no.
Exactly.
No.
So I don't know what the hell they're doing. If they were worried about big names, well, they fired one of their biggest stars over a stupid Twitter rant.
I know. I mean, they don't know what they don't know what they're doing.
Which is something that we've always known about the muckety mucks and entertainment.
I mean, who you're trying to bring a name. You see the thing about a name, you got to hold a name comes in, but they got to hold it. If they don't have experience doing radio, you know, even if you bring in side people and stuff like that, I don't think it's going to work. If you got people that know how to do this, the content of the show will be the catalyst to bringing people in and keeping them.
Who are you going to bring in? Rush Limbaugh, who's hemorrhaging stations on terrestrial? I mean, he's a name. You're going to bring in Rush? All right, some people might come over for Rush. You know, Rush has a big enough following. Some people might
come over for Rush. You know, it's funny because you would think people would come over for Rush. Because he can get more in depth than he does on regular terrestrial radio.
Well, and
the restrictions that they have on Sirius XM now are pretty much because Anthony once told me, he goes, when you're on terrestrial radio, you know what you can't or can't do. He goes, the whole thing with Sirius XM, you don't know where the boundaries are because when they had that homeless guy in saying that he wanted to do Condoleezza Rice and stuff like that, they got suspended.
Yeah, who's out there? Imus? His fans, Imus's fans aren't coming to Sirius XM. They're too old. They're not going in. They're not doing the radio thing. Nobody young is listening to Imus in the morning. There's nobody under 50, and I'm being...
There's also a whole group of people who are about our age that don't really understand how to listen. Like, there are still people that are... our age are a little bit older that don't understand the concept of either internet radio or satellite radio.
Right. So I don't know. All I can see is that they're going after TV stars. It's just kind of disheartening. It's like, oh, yeah, we like what you're doing, but you don't have a name. It's the same thing in comedy. Well, you know, you can't work here because you don't put asses in seats. Well, if I don't work these clubs, how am I ever going to put asses in seats?
The opportunity. Right. But you know what? I wish the opportunity was there because if in that situation, if the club owner saw you and said, you got pretty good stuff. I mean, you're not a name. You're not putting asses in seats. However, you know, you can MC, you can middle and work and build your following there. That's a fair trade-off.
Well, here's where I am. What do you guys think about just ending this? You know, we'll finish out all of our commitments to our sponsors. So I think we have like 20 weeks on Portobello or something left like that. Which is quite a bit of time. So I mean, the thought is just because I'm going to be honest with you. This takes I didn't get into this to be a hobby. You guys know, I got in this to be a career, which is why I've put the hours in, which is why hopefully the product is somewhat superior to a lot of the stuff that's out there. At least that's always been the goal. That being said, there's not enough money coming in. You guys just said, and I totally understand, you can't do this, you know, 2-3 hours a day, every day, which is what we need to do. I'm kind of burned out on the scammer stuff. I have been for a while. I do it because it's our niche. It's cool that we help people, but there's a lot of people in the scamming community that really don't give a shit. I mean, I'm being honest, man. I mean, you know, listen, you know what? I'm glad we've helped people and we continue to help people, but not for nothing. It's not like they're the most supportive community in the world. Some of them are, but a lot of them don't support each other, let alone our own show, you know? It's disheartening. I enjoy doing this. I enjoy hanging out with the two of you. I am certainly appreciative of our fans and the people who have supported us, but I am coming up on close to 4 years of doing this, and Joe's coming up to close to 4 years being with me this summer.
Yeah.
And Pip, about 3.5. So it's not like we didn't give this the old college try.
Well, let's make the decision when we get to the end of the 20 weeks.
Well, I want to. Well, I want to. If we're gonna, I mean, we don't have to make it tonight. But if we're gonna start winding down, I want to start winding down because I'm burnt. I mean, I never thought I'd be developing TV shows. It was never a goal of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'm good at that. I mean, I think we're good. I think we're a good radio show. But I'm gonna. I got a list of syndicators that I just found today that I'm going to be putting calls into. But it's hard to get money in syndication when you're not a name. And you're not on terrestrial,
right.
which was our choice. And most importantly, you're not doing it every day. I mean, that's really what we would have to do is go, okay, we are a drive time show. We're going to do this 2 to 3 hours a day. Unfortunately, nobody's in the financial situation to do that right now.
Right now, yeah, getting up. I mean, if we all lived in the same neighborhood, it would be no problem at all. But
it would be a problem. Every day you want
to
come over?
Well, you got to make a commitment to the show. Like I was telling you during the week, I mean, my whole thing, I can't come up here 2 times a week. It cost me $50 in gas and tolls just to get up here now.
Right.
And then it was $100. Yeah, but that's just the financial thing that's holding me back. If it was something that, you know, we had to do every day, that's our gig. That's the deal. I mean, if we live local, that would be the deal.
But can you imagine doing it every day and not making money till the second year, the end of the second year?
If there was a goal of picking up sponsors and stuff like that, you know, you get.
Well, I mean, that's what they do. They sell the show to and they with advertisers and everything to stations. I mean, and really, that's how you get the name. That's how you go to Sirius.
But if it was local, if we could do it on the phones, I would be willing to do that because you're building a following. If it's not costing any extra money, you know, then you do it. You know, you do it to build a following and build, you know, the strength of the show.
Well, I mean, all I can do right now is offer them different variations of what we have.
Yeah, we could always try to figure something out. I mean, look, once a week, the money I make doing comedy, I funnel in. It's like I call it the Iran-Contra thing. You know, I funnel, you know, I make the money I make for my weekends doing comedy, you know, that money goes to this. Twice a week I can't afford it. But if I could call in from the house and do it from the house.
So wait, would you guys want to do 1 hour a day, Monday through Thursday, in the evening sometime? And by the way, the second guy who I talked to, I think they also handle Anthony's show, by the way, and he pretty much said, he's like, you got to do a talk radio. He said it's pretty much dead, but you got to do it while the sun's still up because the listenership goes way down at night, which is true.
Yeah.
It is true. But, I mean, if you're talking about what we're doing right now is we're doing internet radio, which means that you have to be at your computer. So, you know, you're not going to be doing that while people are in their car, for example.
Well, what I would do is I would have us do, I guess we'd wake up really early. You already wake up, do what, an hour or two in the morning before you guys start your day? We all start our day at the crack of dawn, do an hour a day or an hour or two a day for, I guess, for 3 months or 6 months to say, hey, we did this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you guys want to do that?
Well, it's early in the morning. I mean, I could do it up till 7 o'clock.
So what, do 5 to 7 every morning? Well, I wouldn't even say Monday. I would give him 4 days a week. I go, you know what we'll do?
I'm a morning person.
I'm not. I'm not
yes,
an
hour. Yes, you are. I'm not, and I'm not being nasty. You are.
No, I just don't sleep.
But you're a morning person.
No, I just haven't slept.
But you're up then, dude. Don't lie. I'm not busting your pole. You're up then. I'm up. You're up. I guess, you know, Pip might be up, but, you know.
She might hurt a cat.
No,
on the
I am not up. But right. I would be up.
But I'm a morning person. I know.
All right, so let me ask you a question. So if it's a choice. So then I would pretty much say goodbye to the Tuesday night show.
Yeah.
Because if we're doing that type of thing, we're saying goodbye to the Tuesday night show, which would mean, unless you guys are going to come here one Tuesday, you can't. I mean, how?
We die.
So maybe we will. But, I mean, there'd be no way we could be in studio all together, which I think affects the show, too.
Yeah and no. I mean, we've been doing, you know, I wasn't here last week. It was good. You know, Pip's on the phone now. It's good.
It's okay. It's better when we're all here.
I know we're all here, yeah, but, you know, I mean, you have to work with the semantics of what we got.
Well, but then we're presenting an inferior product.
I think it's a very good product.
No, I'm saying if we weren't together.
All right.
It's inferior it's inferior to our standard, whatever that may be.
Mm.
Which are low to start with. No, no, no.
They clearly are.
That is a little bit more difficult. Maybe there's other ways we could look at technologically how to improve doing it from a distance.
I don't know. We tried everything. This seems to be the one that works.
He's got a point.
Not like we didn't try before.
No, we did, too.
The ghetto call-in seems to work for us.
And you want to know something? People that
feel free to knock over shit, Joe.
People that do listen to the show here, you know, if I'm calling in or when Pip's calling in, sounds fine.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, so do you guys object to this going away?
Well, I think we have a lot more to do with it.
Are you guys going to do more show prep? I mean, think about if we were going to do 4 days a week, 2 hours a day. I mean, obviously, we would do a lot more topical stuff, a lot more of the headline stuff than we do now.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just to do certain other aspects of the show would involve more dedication on that end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't want it because I don't want the show to sound like every other show out there. Mm-hmm. I would still want to do the things that make us unique, like Name That Orgasm. I don't know. I'm kind of bummed by that serious thing, and I understand why we have to do it every day. And I'm just really burnt out on the scammer stuff. Probably because of the people. That's probably why I'm burnt out on the scammer stuff.
Well, just tell our fans that burnt it.
No, it's not them. It's not them. No, that it's not them. Pip has been here when I've just fucking had it with some of the people in the anti-scam community,
mm-hmm.
where they're just, where the shit that I got to deal with, where they should be supporting us because we're the only one who consistently shines light on it and goes to the authorities and gets on TV and does this every week. The fucking lack of support is maddening, and I've seen it with other people in the anti-scam community when they have a television interview or a newspaper interview. And there's a portion of the community that could fucking care less because they're just lost and they're just so involved in their own little situation that they can't look at the bigger picture.
Mm.
They think they are, but they're not. And it's been disheartening. This show should be bigger than it is. I don't know how big the show is. I just know it should be bigger.
I mean, we do a good job. I like the show.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Now put that on Facebook and have me yell at you.
No.
I don't know. What do you think, Pip?
It's a shame that, I mean, I understand what you're saying. With any internet group that I've been a part of since there's been internet, there's always, you know, a rise and fall in the group. Like, it's cyclical. People get along, and then there's, like, you know, some brouhaha comes up, and everybody's fighting, and everybody's taking sides. And pick a topic. Point at any internet community, and there's some flame war, and it's not just the that community that gets all unsupportive or gets on their high horse. Every single community I've seen does that. That's actually been written about as a feature of the internet.
Yeah, but when you're like the lone advocate for people that have lost so much.
I totally understand what you're saying. I think about it this way. Back when I was a fairly decent human being.
I don't recall that at all.
Long, long ago.
Hearsay, I say.
I used to go and there was this one particular church that I went to, and we would have, we would volunteer and go and feed at a soup kitchen, basically. And, you know, you go and you're thinking this is a very humble thing. You're feeding the homeless. And then we would occasionally have people that would come up online and complain about the food that they were being given for free.
Don't be kidding me.
It's not as good as the dumpster three blocks down.
Yeah, well, you start going, are you fucking kidding me? You know, like, this is free. We're trying to help you.
Oh.
We don't have to be here, and it's completely disheartening, you know.
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask
to that community, but I'm just saying that it's just, you know, it's an unfortunate thing that's human nature to bitch.
Anti scam community, better or worse than a bitching homeless man? What say you, Pip?
worse.
Oh, wow. You've been served. Well, not the homeless people. We've cut that shit off. We're not serving you no more, you ingrates. Why don't you shit in your pants?
Holy smokes.
You don't like turkey? Tough shit. None for you.
You know what? All of a sudden, we're on Joe's side with the Republicans. Get a fucking job. Yeah.
We had turkey last night. Really? He also was outside of a dumpster scraping for fish. Shut up.
I turned it to the turkey Nazi.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. None for you.
So.
No, I'm kidding.
No,
I'm kidding. But it was disheartening to have people like, you're trying to do something good and you're going out of your way to do it and you're spending your own money and time cooking and preparing and bringing and serving and, you know, they're being mean to you about it.
I would smack them upside the head with a ladle and tell them to go to hell.
I've had some people in the anti-scam community who I've actually helped and spent a lot of time helping actually stab me in the back.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Where I've just been like, fuck it, I don't want to deal with any of these people, and I don't really talk as much in those groups anymore, mm-hmm. because, you know, you just get to a point, go, why am I even bothering for you? I've never been scammed. Joe's never been scammed. Pip's never been scammed. You know, why are we even doing this for you? You know, it gets to a point, you go, because, you know, very often people want to say that the victims are stupid and they should know better and blah, 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 blah. So you go out there and you go, no, that's not true. Here's the reasons that happened for you, but why it really happens. And then you go, well, they might not be stupid, but they certainly act that way. They're a bunch of assholes. And you can't say that, but I just did. No, there's a, but more and more I want to go, fucking stop, you moron. And it's just, that's why. But, you know, we're told, well, we have to do the scam thing. That's our niche.
Yes.
But
right.
I'm tired of our niche.
Hey, I mean, I have to sit with the iHeart clips. I have to edit the clips. I have to go over them. I have to send, you know. I mean, it's a lot of work on my end, too, you know.
But it is.
I'm still, you know, I mean, it's our, you know, ply and trade.
All right. Well, go on.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, it's not necessarily, I mean, although that is our niche, nothing saying that that's the only thing that we could ever come up with to do, but I totally understand. It's frustrating going on and doing this, and every time you think there's a break, it gets taken away, or there's a condition on it that's not feasible.
You're welcome to show business.
So close, but you know, you have realistic conditions on it.
I just love the fact that everybody loves the idea and everything. Like this year, yeah, we love it. It's great, but you need a start. Let me get Caitlyn Jenner on the fucking phone. She got scammed out of a cock. Maybe she wants to do the show with me.
No, she's still got the cock.
All right, Joe. Now you want to be accurate. You're right. She does, Joe. All right. Well, I don't know what the future is. This week, I'm going to call a bunch of syndicators. That's why I said I go, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to call a bunch of syndicators. And they, you know, and we'll see what happens there. To me, SiriusXM, that door's closed for now. But this might go away. Or this might become once in a while thing unless Joe and Pip express to me the desire to do this 4 days a week. You know, whatever time we can all work out. And do 2 hours a day, and, you know, where they can, you know, somehow find the time to do even more prep than they're doing now. And because to put in much more time for this, I don't see myself doing, to be honest
right.
with you. It's much easier for me to come up with a television show that supposedly sounds good to people, which, who knew? I don't even want to be on TV.
Well, hold on. You got to turn yourself into eye candy. Why don't you spear chocolate all over yourself? She's stupid, smothered in Hershey's.
Yeah, because any other type of women I'm attracting are the ones that are on the rag. I don't need that shit.
No,
bunch of chicks coming at me with Kotex.
Of doing it in blackface.
What? that's his other pal. That's not me. All right. Move on. So, I don't know. We haven't done that. We never really talk about shit, the office stuff on the air. But figure, what the fuck? It's bothering me. I don't give a shit anymore.
We're trying to make the fans feel guilty.
No, not making.
What are you putting us through?
No. I said, no, I love our fans. It's not the fans.
I know.
It's the people that aren't our fans.
Damn you. Damn you.
You people that suck. It's like.
You people that suck.
Well, it's like when you do a comedy show and there's like a small crowd. You don't blame the people that are there.
No.
You blame the people that aren't there.
Right.
I'm blaming them.
Right.
They suck. They should.
How do we do that exactly? Go door to door? You suck.
I would. So I had a very interesting 30 minutes alone with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't sound good. But
yeah, really.
That was a really terrible, terrible segue.
Yes, it was. 30 minutes in heaven. What?
He smokes.
That's terrible. No, it wouldn't be heaven.
Take it back.
I take it back.
Take it back.
This is why Sirius can't use us. So I pick up my daughter from Hebrew school because the wife is incapacitated. Mm-hmm. She had the operation. Right. Looks like she's going to be all right. We might not have to old yell at her. Fingers crossed. So I'm picking up my daughter. The daughter gets in the car. The rabbi starts walking over.
This is that rabbi?
This is that rabbi.
Okay. Oh, no.
The rabbi who we've called a racist on this show.
Mm-hmm.
The rabbi who called an agency I worked for and told them I worked for the rabbi for less money than I did. The rabbi that started talking trash about me to a fellow comic, mm-hmm. and everything, thinking for some reason it wouldn't get back to me when I said we're all friends. Whatever. So he's approaching me, and I'm like, really? Why can't I have the music cranking? Stupid, turning down the radio.
What are you going to do, fend him off with Whitesnake? What are you...
Perhaps. although it's a rabbi, I think Striper might be more appropriate, Joe.
Ramstein would be more appropriate.
No, but Striper's a Jesus band.
All right.
Yeah. Fend off the rabbi with some Striper.
Yeah.
So I'm like, son of a bitch. Here he comes. So he peers into my window. Daughter's in the back seat. So he wants to talk. All right. So he's like, I just want you to know that next week the graduation is at such and such time.
There's the graduation.
Yeah, I already got that problem solved.
Okay, good.
I got that problem solved.
Good, good.
So, and then he's like, how are you? Fine. And I'm wearing like a Yankees cap. Oh, is that a Yankees or a Mets cap? Really?
Really?
Are we going to have small talk, a little chit-chat between pals?
Really?
I'm like, Yankees? He's like, are they doing well this year?
Why is he talking to you like you're 12?
Because he just wants to have that conversation. He doesn't realize.
So I'm going to talk to you like you're 12.
No, he doesn't know sports.
Okay.
So, but he doesn't realize. I know he called the agency and lied about what I was getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't realize I knew. I know that he talks shit about me. He doesn't realize that they have a speaker that's coming to their organization that's going to be talking about lying. And my wife goes, isn't that fucking ironic? Without the fucking.
Really?
She put that in the brochure in the
temple. Irony and Jews.
Yes.
So I was very polite. I come home and I tell my wife about this. She goes, I don't know if I would have done that. I'm like, well, what do you mean? She's like, I don't know if I could have. I might have told the daughter to leave the car and play for a few minutes and tell him exactly what I was thinking. Because this really is going to be my last chance to do it. But it's like, you know what? My daughter's got 1 week of this graduation till graduation. Let's just get through this. We're never going back. But then there's a part of me that goes, you know what? I really want this son of a bitch to know. So I don't know. Did I do the right thing?
I think that probably walking away is better.
It's less fulfilling.
What are you really going to teach him?
I'm not going to teach him anything. It's just more about feeling better.
I know you want to get it off your chest, but the situation was awkward with your daughter already in the car.
I can't go into it with the daughter in the car.
You can't. And daughter's already. What are you going to tell? Could you go out, get out of the car, and go play? That's kind of.
Well, that's what. You know what? My daughter doesn't know anything about it.
I know. But if you.
That's what my wife suggested. I'm like, where the hell are you?
But if you weren't in the car yet, you were walking. It's like, sweetie, could you play for about 10 minutes? I just want to talk to the rabbi for a moment. And then you lower the. But the kid's in the car. She's just going to get out of the car. Why, Daddy, why have to get out of the car and play? Why do you.
She would have played. Nice. She likes to play. It's funny about 8-year-old kids. They like that.
It's in their wheelhouse.
it's right in one of the few things they like to do.
It's in their little wheelhouse.
Playing, playing on the internet, playing on the computer, watching TV. All things kids like to do.
8-year-olds like to do is play. If you asked any 8-year-old, what do you love to do? Play is probably in the top five.
Yeah, so she would not be suffering by me asking her to leave.
Right.
As most people don't when
I
ask them to leave.
I didn't know where you were. It was dark. It
was outside daytime, 12:15 in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon.
Right.
But now I have this nagging feeling, oh, man, I really could have laid into him. So, what say you, Pip?
I think that it was okay that you did lay into him. I mean, I just think that, maybe you would have had a moment of satisfaction about yelling at him, but...
I do like to yell.
You already have yelled at him, and he's still... Look at this. He's walking over to the car, and he doesn't seem to get it.
No, but it's not only the yelling. I could tell him exactly what I know.
Well, I tell you, why don't you do this? Why don't you write him a letter? Or write him? Yeah, because you can collect your thoughts, put them where you want them, write him a letter or email why you're not coming back.
No, that's not satisfying. I like to hear the terror in his voice. Because
I like to hear the what?
The terror.
Oh.
You got to understand something. Holy people aren't used to having somebody give them the old what for and how do you do. You know, they are looked to as connectors to God. Everybody on this show, we have no such illusions, and we are used to like being yelled at.
You know what? I just like I don't know. I from my mother's school of thought, where if my mother would tell somebody, well, she would tell people up. But I mean, letters that she would write to the church. I don't feel this. I furthermore, blah blah blah, and you know, blah blah blah. You know, and I'm from that school. I mean, you want to tell somebody, but writing a letter too. I mean, I've been used to writing letters to all sorts of people to, you know, show my discontent to vendors. And maybe that's, you know, I'm persuasive in the fact that I have to write emails all day to get things I need to
get done. I've written letters to, like, bookers when they piss me off or this, that, the other thing. Lately, I'm just, like, not engaging in it, which is unlike me.
I just, like I said, during the day program, if like there's a situation where I'm helping a customer and they're going to have a 15% restocking fee and it's something that they're a good customer, you know, and I'm just, you know, furthermore, we feel that, you know, to do that would be, you know, very disheartening. They've been a very good customer, you know, so I'm just used to presenting my thoughts in that fashion, you know, whereas, you know, if I had a chance, if the situation was right and I was there, I would have said something. But I think that would have been a little bit awkward with your daughter in the car.
So I handled it right.
You handled it out. But if you need closure on it, I would suggest sending him an email or writing a letter just to get your final, you know, final thoughts in.
Well,
he'll write back. If he's that concerned, he'll write back.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think he could fathom. I don't think he understands how much I know. That's the part I wanted to share with him. I go, I know everything.
But the thing that's bothering you is that you don't, you know, the thing that's bothering you is he doesn't know how much you know, and you want him to know.
I want him to think about it and change, maybe.
So, you know what? In writing, it's there.
Yeah, but I won't get there's a little satisfaction of going, and fuck you.
But if you can't get that chance of speaking with him verbally again, you would have to go the writing way. Let me tell you something. You're going to have no unless you address him, you're not going to have closure on the situation. Well, if you can't get a verbal meeting with him, then you're going to have either.
Well, the closure is he's made part of our promo video.
Yeah, I know. I understand. I know there's some things. Yeah, there are some. I mean, there are some things like in life where you want to have a card that says, congratulations, you're in the act. Yeah. And just hand it to that person. Yeah.
That's funny. Congratulations. Your stupidity made it to my act.
Well, when I open my set, I'll start off with the bit where I have to go buy a duffel bag and I have to go to this store, and there was this, like, beautiful gay man. And he had
I know the bit.
It was true. It's true. It was Zeller's department store up in Calgary. You know, and it was a true situation, and he was just so. And I'm like, I'd love to get back at this guy. I go, you know what? That night, I got back to the room, I wrote it out, and I did it that night.
Well, then I've won.
You do feel a vindication.
Well, we'll see what happens there, because I'm not going to the graduation. I will be driving the wife and child. I will help the wife up the stairs with the crutches.
Couldn't coax the parents, huh?
No, we're just gonna go.
You're gonna make your wife go to this on crutches?
She wants to go. She doesn't want anything to do with him. But she's going to go.
Because she's going to go why? She wants to go or you have to go? She's going to go in lieu of you?
She was going anyway. We're going for our... She's going for our daughter. She's cool with me not going. She's supportive of that. It's not like she's like, well, I really think you should go. I think she goes, if I'm sitting there, somebody's going to die.
But it's just... Well, all right. You know, it's her. You know, if she wants to go, she wants to go. The poor thing is laying up there. She's making it go.
Chad has some good suggestions.
Okay.
Lisa suggested that you send him a dozen bacon roses.
But who can fold bacon that way? It's supposed to be crispy.
And, Tom points out that there is a service that you can get, and they will send you for the right amount of money a heaping pile of any kind of poop you want to be sent to the person of your choice.
Oh, yeah, they'll UPS a bag of cow shit out for you. I heard of those guys, yeah.
Is it that hard to find that stuff?
No, on the web. You can find anything on the web.
No, I mean, I'm surrounded by shit.
Okay, go get you got a farm up the road. Get your own cow shit.
I'm saying I could.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, Tom has graciously donated his own services in this.
Really?
But, yes, he did.
He's going to deliver shit?
He'll take a dump in a box and mail it. He's a giving person.
You know what? We might do that.
That'd be a good place, shit in a box.
Shit
welcome
in the
to,
box.
Welcome to shit in the box. How can I help you? Shit in the box. Yeah, I want to.
I want a heaping steam of crap, extra corn in it.
Corn is an extra 50 cents, sir. Would you like the corn?
Do you have anything in diarrhea?
Yes, we have a special container we use for that.
It's an extra charge.
Yes.
It's hard to corral. Yeah. I like this business venture. All right, Trucker Tom, or formerly Trucker Tom, as the case may be.
How soon could that go? That can go today. We put the fast in fecal.
We put the fast in fecal. Nobody goes like we go. When you got to go number two, yeah. We go number two.
When it really matters, make it fecal.
When shit matters.
When it really matters, make it fecal.
When shit hitting the fan isn't enough.
Oh, that's an extra $5. Fan battered shit.
Oh, lovely. It's all over the place.
Fresh shit, fan battered, sent directly to your enemy.
Now, I know this is a little exotic. Do you have anybody who could take an Ebola shit?
Yeah.
We have special people standing by to make it gluten-free.
Gluten-free turds. Delicious.
And then sometimes we have celebrities, and we call it Logs of Distinction.
Now, listen, this person who I want to deliver to, they have a peanut allergy. How much peanut butter could you eat before you took this shit?
It'll look like Mr. Peanut.
That sounds like a challenge.
It'll look like Mr. Peanut hit Taco Bell. Don't worry. We'll take care of that.
All right. All right, Tom, hit me up. We might have to work on this.
God.
What?
I don't think you even have to work that hard.
Well, I mean, it's right in his wheelhouse.
Or his shit house.
Kids like to play. Tom likes to crap. It all works.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, I'm not saying no. I like it better than bacon roses. Sorry, Lisa.
Oh, God. You're going to set a film. It's going to be like Piddler on the Roof. It's Piddler on the Roof. I'm going to dump a yarn.
Tom has another idea for the actual contraption. He says, I can always rig a spring-loaded platform to send the poo baggie on before I mail it.
Can he really do that, or is he just talking out of his ass?
I think he actually will do it.
You know, Tom, I like where your head's at, not necessarily your ass. I'm very intrigued by this. I like this idea of flying turds. This might
you know what scares me, though, is that it seems like he's thought of this before we got here.
Oh, well, Tom's a man. Tom's like a Boy Scout, always prepared.
I tell you, though, the flaming bag of shit, whoever invented that should get the Nobel Peace Prize. That is the funny, because you got to stamp it out of this shit. There had to be a drawing board for that one.
Somewhere a couple of assholes were thinking what to do.
Yeah, well, dude, you light it on fire, you got to stamp it out. But the kicker is there'll be shit in there.
That'll shit him. all right. So then, I got to move the show on.
I see. We can't spend all the time shitting around here.
Talking shit.
Talking shit.
So I'm driving home, and my daughter's supposed to have a softball game later on that day.
Right.
And somehow winning comes up. She talks about, you know, I hope we win. So then we get to talk about the importance of winning. I go, well, you know, winning means a lot to me. So I like to have fun. I go, oh, yeah, fun's the most important thing. But I go, we know we have more fun when we win. So then I tell her that next year, when she moves up, because I'm assuming I'll move her up next year if she plays, that not everybody gets a trophy, that you have to earn a trophy. And I explained to her that I'm very proud of the trophy that I got in 2009 for my softball league because it means you've accomplished something. It means the hard work that you've put into it is rewarded and recognized, and it feels very good. And I try to stress to her the importance of winning. I know. I don't know any parents that don't stress winning, but I guess it's out there that they don't.
The stressing is doing the best job you can absolutely possibly can do. Winning is the icing on the cake, but doing the best job because you're going to need to do the best job you do playing softball. You're going to need to do the best job you can do when you're in school. Best job you can do when you're in a job.
I think it's a life lesson.
So yeah, winning is important. You know, but the thing about the whole thing about winning that conversation is that when you lose, if you know that you did the best job that you could have done, and you pulled out every stop, and you did the best job you can do, then you could live with losing.
Yeah.
Learn from what happened and then move on. Winning is good, but you got to instill also when you lose, why did you lose? Analyze what happened. Did you do the best job that you could? What's going to happen next time when you go back out? You know, and then and that's a life lesson too.
Yeah. No, I agree. But, you know, I think, you know, winning matters. And I teach that to the team. And I think the parents are happy with it. So then my daughter asked me, as I'm driving home, just trying to get the fuck home. This is what happened.
Why can't you win, Daddy?
Sorry. Good question. Because Daddy works with two dumbbells that hold him down. Have you ever heard of an albatross, honey? Not the bird.
Yeah, that was a nice speech and all, but Jesus Christ.
Not for nothing. Listen, you loser. Who are you to tell me? I'm not even in double
digits.
I could
have convinced Sirius, but no, all right. You're the dad. Right.
Hey, I didn't even get a chance to convince Sirius. They keep me out of these meetings. So, you know, and again, this is what happens when Daddy doesn't turn up the radio and avoid conversation. I had a parenting faux pas. I was engaging my child. Asshole.
No, father.
Same thing.
Don't call your child asshole.
I wouldn't. To her face.
Stop it.
I wouldn't. I might mutter it under my breath.
Don't you? She's a wonderful little girl.
Sure, they're all wonderful until you raise them. People think you're wonderful. They're not exposed to you for a long period of time, but they think you're wonderful.
I am wonderful.
Not to anybody who's been exposed to you for a great period of time.
I am, too.
Who?
No, that person out that listens.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long. Put in your time, sweet tits. Put in your time. I don't know if they are or not. I have no way of knowing that. It's just a term of endearment, sort of. Gotcha. But put in your time. Come back to me in 15 years. We got people that say, not so much. Can you imagine 15 years from now? You were right. We've been married for 13. I had no idea. I just recently friended his ex on Facebook. We've been comparing notes. We're going to give him another half. We're going to take another half of his shit. So she goes, but I'm still on the all-star team, right, Daddy? The thing, remember she was supposed to be on the traveling on that tournament team?
You know, I want to make a rebuttal here, a retraction, where I said, you know, you got to be a dad and don't turn up the radio. You should have cranked Whitesnake. You should have cranked Whitesnake. You just should have left it off from the rabbi. Here I go again on my, what was that, sweetheart?
I can't hear you, David Coverdale.
I don't know why I pulled away from the rabbi.
What, One Direction? Sure, anything loud.
Anything, that shit boy band you want to hear, I'll crank it to 10. Kids are sharp as tacks. You got to remember that.
Yes, and I have no tact. So, now, because it hasn't really come up until this point, and I have to explain to her, well, you're not. Well, why not? Well, because the coach didn't think you try hard. I do try hard, Daddy. I go, I understand that. I know you try your best and everything. But people don't always see that because you don't listen and your body language. And I go, you know, I go, listen, I've told you, you're very good at this. I'm not lying to you. You're very good at this game and you can go far in this game. But people want to seem that you're listening to them. When you just stare at a coach and don't acknowledge them or don't listen, coaches think you don't care. I understand you care, and I can relate to her because I do this to people. Like, I remember being hazed in a fraternity and just getting yelled at, and I just give them a faraway stare. Because, you know, what? How are you going to react?
You want to know something? I agree with you on that. I mean, fuck you, man. You're hazing me? Really? Really going to get to me? Really? All right, you know,
But people don't like it.
It's not a learning coaching situation. You're getting hazed by some dope with a bat or something like that.
Same thing, though, when I would be working in a corporate situation.
Somebody's giving
me the old what for, even if they're usually wrong. They're usually assholes and they're wrong. But instead of acknowledging and powdering an ass because that's not in my DNA, I stare.
Sometimes, you know, there's certain situations you have to. I mean, look, when you're getting hazed, no, fuck you, game on. But other situations you have to sometimes. I got to bite my tongue.
I'm not good at that. And I know this. So I recognize that in her.
Mm-hmm.
I can, because she gets it from me.
Well, all right. Yeah. And I know that, you know, you could remedy the problem with her. You know what to do.
Right, but you know, on the ball field, that doesn't happen. On the ball field, you know, I'm ball.
Well, because you're in the position of the boss.
No, but I'm saying even when I play, I give 100% in everything. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why, you know, I mean, how many times do I come in here? I can't walk. I can't throw. I'm still playing because mm-hmm. I'm still driving in runs mm-hmm. and everything because I go all out.
Mm-hmm.
But the coach didn't think you try. I do try. I go, I know that. But you got to show that you try. Can I still get on the team? I don't think so. But we can ask. She goes, well, it's not really all my fault. And I was going to say, yes, it is. And I was thinking, then I didn't.
No, I know.
I go, you know what?
But I know you got, yeah.
I go, you know what? It's not all your fault. I go, she told us you're on the team. She should not have gone back on that word. That's her fault. That was wrong. It's your fault because you don't listen. Because, you know, when we say get in ready position to field the ball, you stand there. When a coach is trying to help you, you stare through the coach. That's your fault. But there's two people. But she's like, well, can I still get on the team? I go, I don't know. I think it's filled up, but we can find out. Do you want to play? Yes, I want to play. Again, she's not – people don't know, understand, and I explained this to the coach. People don't understand how much she likes this game. She doesn't show it. She does not show it, but this is something she wants to
do. Right. Now, and because she's – and the thing about it is it's learning. It's a life lesson. You're 8. You're learning things. She'll never forget this. She'll never forget this, that she knows that she has to – better herself. I mean, you know, better herself and not have this.
Listen, what was pulled on my daughter, where you're on the team and then not on the team, I would never do. Never do. I would never do that.
No, because it was wrong.
Because it was wrong. So here's what I said. I go, well, if you want to talk to her and tell her how you feel and tell her that you do try, I will stand next to you and we can talk to her. We got 3 more games with them. Do you want to do that? Yes.
That's a great idea.
Because you know what? Let the coach deal with the hurt and disappointment and the realization of the situation that the child is going through. Don't put it on me to be the bad guy. You know, because as we said, she didn't come up with this right away. I had to email her to find out what the hell was going on.
Yeah. So you put it, and let her explain it. Because she said she was on the team. And because there was other people, that's not your problem. No. You've got to explain to her. She brought up the point that she, you know, she has to show more, you know, like she's really engaged in it. Let her explain that to your daughter.
Well, but I know my daughter tries 100%. But I even said to my daughter, she go, because sometimes I go, I'll go up to you, and I'll go, what's wrong? Because I'm like, it doesn't look like she's running, for instance. Like, she is running. She's not a fast kid. But I'm like, well, what's wrong? Oh, well, my leg hurts. Do you want to come out of the game? No, I don't want to come out of the game. I go, well, then here's the deal. If you were really injured, then you need to tell me because I don't want you to continue playing and hurt yourself further.
Mm.
If it's not that big of a deal, then don't put on a face and don't whine about it. Because if you want to stay in the game and it's not that bad where you need to come out of the game, where you really feel like you need to come out of the game, then don't. Then
you got, but she's got to learn this.
That's what I'm teaching her.
She can't have that. So, and I'll give you an example. She's 24 years old. She just got a really good job. She gets handed a project that she's really going to sink her teeth into. But she has a look to her that, you know, it seems like she doesn't care or something like that. That's going to affect her. What you're teaching her right now is a life lesson.
Yeah, I know.
That's going to say, you know, it's a very, very, very important thing.
This is a tough kid, though. This is a kid that got stung by a bee, was crying and everything, stayed in the game. This is a kid that got hit with a pitch, was crying, and last year and went like 4 for 5 with a bunch of RBIs and runs scored. This is a tough kid.
I understand that, but if she's not giving the perception that she's a team player,
she's a team player.
The perception where it's picked up by a coach or picked up by you, and it's a trait that you have, it's an important thing.
I explained to her that coaches often will take the kid that looks like they're trying and giving their all over the kid that's more talented.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, I go, you know what? We got 3 games with them. I go, show them what they're missing. I go, because I know you would help that team win. My daughter would absolutely help that team win.
And it's,
she's good.
Right. She is good. But she's got to show an attitude. It's an attitude. She's got to change her attitude to when you get direction. You look, even if you think it's not, you look. You look interested. You look, you know, that's what people are looking for.
No, I agree. I agree. You got to learn how to play the game. It's just not something I'm strong at.
But you need to learn how to play the game. That's the way the game is played.
Yeah. What?
I'm sorry. That was really funny. you need to know how to play the game because that's the way the game is played. I know what you meant, but it came out really
I feel like we're on Sports Network. It's like when you think, well, what's the keys tonight? Well, the keys tonight is to score points. Well, of course it is. You know?
But all I'm saying is there was a lot of fucking parenting going on a 20-minute drive.
I understand that.
Whitesnake should have been cranked.
I understand. Well, you know what? You helped your daughter immensely. I'm telling you.
I doubt she can get back on this team. She deserves to be on the team. I hope she does get the opportunity to be on the
team. She will never forget this. And it will be for a positive, because if you don't think the next time she goes out for a sport or another event
mm-hmm.
that she wants to be a part of, she'll throw 100% of herself in, and she'll know that she also needs to look engaged and respond to coaching. And if somebody tells her something, to look at them. Yeah, that's when you learn this.
Yeah,
stuff.
No. I mean, listen. Listen, as
she'll never forget. She'll never forget this.
We'll find out.
No, she'll never forget this.
I hope the coach learned something from this too, because you don't go back on your word. I was telling somebody, a friend of mine who listens to the show on occasion, we were chatting and was telling me how some people did her wrong at work. At right. her job and everything. You know, people who she was kind to. Mm-hmm. And they thought, and there was like a situation, and she thought the situation was squashed, but then they went to the boss and caused a bigger situation. I go, well, if you notice a theme on my show, a common theme on my show is people suck.
I'll tell you, when I was at my last job, we were in a meeting and we were proposing something, and it was something my coworker thought of. And I said it during the meeting, but I mentioned that it was his idea, and he got all bent out. And she went, you know, that was my idea. I go, yeah, I know. Well, you know, I thought, I go, yeah, I know. Didn't you hear me say that this was your, well, you're trying to steal. I'm not trying to steal anything. I openly admitted it. It was your idea. It was your, I don't think he was there, but I suggested it. And I told him it was his idea. I go, but I suggested I don't work. Oh, you know, that's, you know, I don't. So you get to a point where you're dealing with people and going, they're wacky.
Hey, listen, I gave somebody who was in my wedding party 3 summers worth of work, summers worth of work, comedy work. They stole the room from me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really call me or bring that up anymore. We'll comment on each other's Facebook.
Yeah.
People suck. All right, Joe, speaking of sucky people, what's going on with you?
Well, good news on my play. I did a comedy show for with my writing partner, Camille, and we have an actress that also does stand-up. Who also produces stuff, and she is going to be producing the play.
Oh, cool.
And we really the momentum has picked up exponentially over the past week. I spoke to my writing partner tonight. We got extras and stuff like that. I just got to find a place to film. So that's good, because this project is 10 years old.
Well, you like to take your time.
Well, you know what? It's like I said, with the radio show, it's something that we believed in. And there were, you know, lulls, and, you know, but we never gave up. And it's almost like with what you're doing with your with your TV thing, you get to a point, and we sat where we needed it to give it to other people outside the circle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, for what's going on right now, we think it's a great idea, because it's really starting to move, which
that's
is good
really news.
Good, you know?
So, well, we look forward to hearing that.
Yeah, and then hopefully I'll live.
No, I don't know how I feel about that.
No, because it's weird, because I have, I've been, like I said last week, I don't know what I ate, but it didn't agree with me and my stomach. I've been having a problem.
You know, in defense of the food, most things don't agree with you.
But I've been having a problem with coughing, and it's not because of my chest, acid reflux.
Oh.
So it's been okay, but I'm going to have to probably go to the doctor next week and probably have another upper endoscopy or something like that.
I cannot eat like I used to eat. I know, that's quite like out of a trough. But like I've noticed in the past couple of years, like, if I eat quickly, especially, like, protein,
yeah,
I get ill. Like, I have to walk away from, I don't want to be gross, but I have to walk away from the table because it kind of gets stuck in my chest. Like, what the hell is this?
Age, you know.
Is that what that is? Does that happen to you?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell's wrong with me? It's turkey, stupid.
I know, but, you know, like I said, with me, it's I'm coughing, and people go, oh, what are you going to, you know, right now, this is from GERD. And basically,
GERD. Who the hell's GERD?
That's what it's called. I forgot the initial for it. But what happens is the acid comes up to your esophagus, and it gets in. What's happening? It's getting up by my the sphincter, but my throat, And which
wait, the sphincter by your throat?
It's called a sphincter. That's what keeps the
That's not where the sphincter is.
There's several sphincters. Okay?
No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
I mean, I'm staring at one.
Right. But it was a race to that line, huh?
I won. I win the sphincter.
But the sphincter is also part of your esophagus.
Who told you this?
Look it up in any medical thing. Go on WebMD.
Well, that's for reals.
I have it, too. Gastroesophageal reflux disease.
Right.
I don't care about that. What's this with the extra sphincter?
It's not an extra sphincter. It's this, but it's called, it keeps the acid from going up into your throat. And that's what it irritates your esophagus. And if it's left untreated, it could lead to throat cancer.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah. So basically, I have to change my diet. I've been eating like a Gavone for the past 3 weeks. So I got to change my diet to salads and stuff like that. See how it goes. If it doesn't get any better, I'm going to have to go to the doctor, probably get an upper endoscopy again.
Well, that's uplifting. Yeah. I learned there's multiple sphincters.
There are more than one. More than the one that you mostly think about.
So, Pip, you got GERD?
Yeah.
And what do you eat? What do you eat to keep it from being activated?
No, you know what? I there's nothing I could do about it. There are dietary restrictions, like you shouldn't eat late at night when you're going to lie down.
Yeah.
You shouldn't eat fried food, or especially spicy
food. Oh, fuck that.
Food.
I like fried food.
If I make the mistake and I have ice cream later at night, that's really bad. Mm. I'm going to see that again.
You know, without ice cream and fried food, what's the point of living?
Oh, let me tell you, though. So
truly.
At night, it's awful because you keep on feeling like Jimi Hendrix because his stuff keeps on coming up. And it's and I haven't gotten a decent night's sleep the whole week because I got Joanne poking me in the back. You're making noise because I'm trying to live, okay? Move over.
That's inconvenient.
I really got to get separate bedroom. We get the clutter cleaned up. We get in separate bedrooms. I can't stay in there.
All right. What's going on with you, Pip?
Well, I'm sorry that I can't be there with you guys tonight. Sunday was an interesting day. I had a friend that was having sort of an emotional setback, so I went to talk to her for a little while, and then it was raining gangbusters here. And now, normally we don't have any problem in the basement anymore, but we do get flooding in the basement if our gutters are filled. And the reason that our gutters hadn't been cleaned out recently is because we used to use this one service that a lot of people know about. And then this guy who Mr. Helix knew from the radio station, one of their advertisers, said, "Oh, no, I'll give you a discount. I'll come and do your gutters." And
that's my line.
And we started using him. Only I heard through the grapevine that he was saying to people that he didn't fulfill this one obligation that he had through the radio station because he had hurt his back. And, we were curious, how did he do that exactly? And he had a show on the radio station. He got on the radio with Mr. Helix as the engineer, and he started joking about how he was showing off and doing some little dance on our roof.
Wait, you told us this story.
Yeah, and hurt himself.
Right.
So I was so infuriated hearing this because he was making little jokey jokes
right.
about how, "Oh, you're lucky, Mr. Helix. I'm not going to sue your homeowners." I just went insane, and I was like, he's never fucking setting foot on our property again. And then
what a loss.
I forgot to set up the gutter service with the old people again.
Oh.
And oopsie, we had Lake Helix in the basement.
Oh.
Good boy.
Yeah, so between the two of us, I have to say Mr. Helix was doing most of the heavy lifting, but all I had
leave your sex life out of this.
And all I had to do was lift up the wet vac tank full of water and put it in the sink a couple times, and I was down for the count. I really messed up my back.
You probably should get like one of those back braces that weightlifters use.
You know what? I think that would be good. I think what would be really much better is if our basement doesn't flood anymore.
All right, so don't do anything that might involve you bending or lifting for the rest of your life, and problem solved.
pretty much. Okay. No, I'm actually going to have to go, and I had been going to, it started when I had an accident, and I had gone to physical therapy, and it improved to a point, but not in this one spot. And he said, well, the next step is I'll give you injections at the base of your spine. And I just went, no, no needles in my spine, please. So it's something I'm living with for now, but there might come a time where I have to go for the needles in the spine.
Well, what is that?
Am I the only one who thinks that that's a little severe?
Well, it depends what it is. Is it cortisone shots?
I think it is.
All right, because the thing about it is I have arthritis in my ankle. I used to go to a podiatrist, two of them, and he would give me cortisone shots. It would hurt like hell for a second, and then it would feel so good. But the only thing with those, you can only do it several times. I don't know how many times. You know, I don't know how long the treatment is. I would think they could do it only no more than three times.
Yeah, they can't do it too many times.
Right.
It's like, well, it works or it doesn't. But I'm just not jazzed about the whole idea of needles so near the thing that helps me be able to walk. Like, I don't like the idea of needles by my spine.
Well, it's not like it's some guy. I mean, it's a trained professional. You know, it's
some guy.
You know, it's but you know, it's the amount of times, like the amount of treatment. If it feels good and then it comes back, the only problem is that there's only like I said, with me personally, it was only three treatments that he could do. You know, after that, and it never got better. I mean, it wasn't solving the problem; it was relieving it. You know, so you got to think about what you want to do with that.
That sounds even more like, well, what's the point? I'm just relieving it for a short while, but it doesn't even fix it. So,
well, you probably got to do it.
And I understand. It's not like I'm saying, hey, Davin, shoot a needle near my spine.
Right.
I wish.
You wouldn't trust me to do it?
No. No shaky McGird. No, that's stupid Clofton. She has a pierced ear.
I don't think I'd be doing that, but
I couldn't do that with needles.
She's upset with me.
No, I mean, well, you got to find out what's going on. You got to find out if exercises can strengthen it, or you know, something else.
Yeah, or I'm just effed. Yeah.
You know what?
I said have to look back into it though, because this weak spot. I don't want to live with this the rest of my life.
Well, Joanne says the same thing about Joe. I said this last week. We are at the point in our lives where the best thing for us to do is to become veals. We need to eat a lot and not move around, so we just become tender, because moving is not working well for us.
Oh, I tell you, the best thing I did, I'm so happy I quit smoking, because that's the last thing I'd need right now. Because you get to a certain age where you aren't as invincible as you thought. I mean, I'm starting to get arthritis in my hands, which is because from using the computer, which is scaring me, because
wow,
as a keyboard player, that's going to be a problem. I have a problem with GERD now, which hopefully if I adjust my diet, it'll go away.
GERD sounds like a really fat chick that you banged and won't leave you alone.
Well, it's essentially a good description of it, because it's not. It's aggravating the shit out of me.
GERD just keeps on hanging around. I don't know why I let her blow me again. She was there. It was late. GERD's going to call.
Like Gertrude.
Yeah. Gert.
Joe, what are you going to do tonight? I don't know. Gert's over.
Oh, man. You were going to tell her to go. Ah, you know, but she's good.
I don't know. Gert is all right at the time, but I really pay the price later with Gert. Yeah.
I don't know. It just sounds like you feel like an asshole for having it.
Yeah.
Got Gert. Gert.
Yeah.
Gert?
It sounds like a chick you're embarrassed
Can't
by.
Can't you have like a sclerosis or something like that? It sounds cooler.
It sounds like your drunken booty call.
Yeah.
Continuously.
I take Nexium, which is over the counter now, you know.
Yeah, I know. I've been taking Prilosec.
All right. Enough of this WebMD.
No, we're like 100. Joe, you and me, we're 100.
Right.
Ugh. All right, Pip. Ugh. Enough of this shit.
I like this young demo we're going for.
That's what I was told one of the syndicators.
It's Nana's show.
We got guys in their 20s, the women in their 60s. Listen, the guys in their 20s just fucking put an ice pick in their ear.
Good evening. It's the Mindy Rosen show, and we're going to talk about all sorts of things. We're going to discuss GERD. Devin has a lovely story. Pip can't be here because of her back. We're going to discuss that, too. I get the needles, too. But Mindy Rosen.
You know what?
7 to 10.
If you could get a name, maybe you could get on Sirius. Yeah. I should tell the president of Sirius a name. We got Dick Eldorado. What are you talking about?
Let me tell you something.
Maybe Betty White isn't busy.
Yes.
If we decide to throw the blanket on this, I might do a video show
Dick Eldorado show. I'm not. I'm
what
not,
on Kumia station?
I don't know. I'm not either. I'm
Did
not
he ask you?
No, no.
Oh. It's look at that. No, no.
Well, it's something I got to propose. But my thing is, I always wanted to still do the Dick Eldorado show. But we got involved with this. My priority is with this. But it's always been on the back burner. If I ever had the opportunity to do it again, I'd always like to try to do that character. But you know, I mean. You know, my place is here. You know, this is the gig.
Listen, I am willing to entertain a Dick Eldorado segment on occasion if you could make it entertaining enough.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. We could do a Dick Eldorado 20 minutes of your insanity if it's captivating and entertaining.
All right, let me see. Let me see if I can write the show. See if I can write a script up.
Okay.
Something.
Well, I am willing to engage in this on the limited amount of time that we have until I say enough. But that's not tonight. Pip, tell people where they can hear this show.
You can listen to Davin Denton. Yeah, that's playing.
You can't even pronounce it. How can you listen to it?
You can't say it.
What do you got? The GERD?
Yes, I'm looking for Davin's Denton. Well, there's no doubt. Well, that's where the lady told me to go.
Excuse me, I'm looking for Davin's dentures.
Dentures? Oh, it's sponsored by the Mindy Rosen Show. Aren't they wonderful?
Try again, stupid. listen, we might be.
End this?
I can call her up. I can call her up and call her stupid. I don't have to do it on the radio.
It's fun when strangers listen.
I'll do a party line. Everybody gather rounds. Everybody give me your phone numbers. I'm about to call Pip and call her stupid.
The party line. You remember when the electricity used to go out? Be the party. Everybody's cursing at each other.
No, I never was on a party line.
That's what happened. Like back in the day, when I was a kid, man, when we used to have like a, I don't know, Pip, if you remember, when you used to have a big power outage, you couldn't get a phone, so everybody would be on a party line. It's like, who's this? I'm trying to make a call. Well, what do you think I'm doing, stupid? You know, it was great.
Well, that's the future
of this
show.
Conversation the people down the street.
Yeah.
That's better than our show.
We should just do a segment on that. Just tap people's line. Just bug people's phones and play it while we have coffee.
Well, if we tap the right line and it was a big enough name, we might have a show, Joe.
Well, I got time after the show. We'll talk.
All of a sudden, you're tapping all the guests that come over to Anthony's house, fucking cherry-rigging their phones, putting a bug on it. Tonight we tap Chris Hansen's phone. How ironic. He's surprised.
Meanwhile, at the compound, boy, Foot's getting all the guests we are. And they don't even know.
And they reveal much more. all right, Pip, try again.
Okay, take two. You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday on davinsden.com. iHeartRadio, TheIndieAuthority.com, RuthlessRadio.fm, TalkSuperStation.com, CyanNetRadio.com, GoneRogueRadio.com, TuneIn.com, HawkRadio.net. You can also listen to replays of the show every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on www.RainRockRadio.com. And on TalkSuperStation.com, you can listen to the replay on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps, so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, TuneIn.com, iHeart can only be heard in...